You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
So it was 2017 that my husband and I, before moving to Fort Worth, we were full-time traveling evangelists. And the Lord had me ministering on crying out for about a year and a half. That's all that I could minister on. And I remember we would go to Spokane, to an upper room up there, and we would pray from that upper room at our intercessor's house, and we would pray into what that next year's word was. And I remember seeing Landon's face this day because I was so jealous because I knew the Lord just spoke to him what that word was, and I couldn't wait to hear what the word was for the next year. And he said, next year's word is mercy. And I prayed and I asked God and I said, because every time that we went and we would minister, the word of that year flowed into the next. And I said, so Lord, what does crying out have to do with your mercy? And he said this to me, because my people's cries usher in my mercy. We've been praying and asking God for mercy in Fort Worth, and I believe God has given us last weekend, awakened us to the key ingredient for us seeing mercy in Fort Worth, in our region, in our state, and in our nation, and it's our cry. Crying out or lamenting, it's different than a prayer. It's different than a normal cry. It's not a sadness. It's not even a mourn. Sometimes a mourning can be the beginning of an outcry. It can be the beginning of lamenting. But it goes even further than that. It's not something our toddler does when we take a toy from him and he begins to cry out for that toy. It's even a different cry out from that. It's not even when we don't get our way in something and we begin to cry to the Lord. It's not a complaint. Crying out is a groan. That's the word Corey used. It is a groan that comes from our spirit man. It's when you don't care what anyone thinks around you. Come on, everyone around you has vanished. You are in the throne room. It's when you don't care what plans, what agenda there is. All of that can be wiped away. It's when you don't care if your phone is ringing or there's dishes in the sink. You have a meeting and a place to be at with the Lord. It's when you don't care that snot is dripping out of your face. You don't care what you look like because you are in the presence of the King. It's when you don't care that you're sprawled out on the carpet on your living room floor or in your closet, because you are placing a demand on heaven. A lot of us has never even experienced this though. Maybe you're sitting in the room and you're thinking, I want to feel that. I want to experience what she's talking about. Some of us may be thinking it sounds weird. Or we've thought before when we've cried in the presence of God, we've stopped ourselves. Because we feel this is weird or this is uncomfortable. I'm not used to this feeling, and I'm going to shove this out because I'm not used to this feeling. Some of us have just never been burdened enough or grieved enough over something to be able to come to this place that our immediate reaction is to fall to our knees and to cry out to our Savior. Why? Why? There's plenty of horrific things that go on in our world that should drop us to our knees. There's plenty of evil things that are going on in the world that should cause our response to be a cry to our King, but we don't. I believe there's many reasons to why we don't. Corey Russell talked about one of those reasons last weekend. He talked about the addiction, and not just in Americans, but in the church and with Christians, to pharmaceutical drugs, and how it numbs us and our pain and our emotions and our feelings. See, God did not create robots. He did not create robots. He created men and women, human beings with flesh, with feelings, with emotions. And this world has taught us that our emotions are an awful thing. And so to turn them off, take this pill so you no longer have these bad feelings, when those feelings were created by God in man. So we would have a response to cry out to our King, to cry out to our bridegroom, to cry out to our Abba Father. And so we aren't hearing a cry because we feel that this is a negative thing, yet heaven is waiting on it. I feel the other reason is we have become used to the tragic things that are happening in the world. That's what we call it. That's tragic. That's too bad. Man, another state that's okaying abortion. Oh, our nation is just going down. It's just going down the drain. And our response is a too bad. Our response is an isolation. I better retreat because the world has become too scary of a place. I better just turn on Netflix a little longer and numb that pain. I better turn on the iPad and just, you know, look at these family videos to make sure I have a fuzzy feeling inside. And I'm going to numb and isolate myself from what's going on in the world when heaven is waiting on a response of a cry. We have to get to the place to where we're okay. We are okay with the pain that we see on the television. We're okay, and not in a way that we're okay, but in a way that we don't turn off the God-given gift to talk with God, to cry to God. We become desensitized. That's the word that came up in my spirit, that we should have a sensitivity to the things that are happening in our world. And it shouldn't be fear. No, He's not given us a spirit of fear or of timidity. No, of a sound mind. Come on, some of you that are struggling with the isolation that the world is this scary place, you have to declare a sound mind over yourself so that we can begin to hear from heaven and know how to cry out for our nation and our cities and our schools. Our senses have become numbed. And when our senses have been numbed, we hear God less, we feel Him less, we see Him less, and we reach out to others less because we've lost our sensitivity. But if we read our Bible, we know this, that this is not the first time the world has been a scary place. Come on, if we read our word, we know throughout the entire word of God that there was sin, that there was idolization, that there was sexual immorality, that there was every kind of sin to the highest degree that God's wrath had to pour out before He sent His Son. But for some reason, we feel, man, the world has never. Now, there are times that have changed. There are new seasons that God brings, but the sin is not new in the earth. The sin is not new to God. Let's go to 2 Kings 22. This is one of my favorite stories. It's of King Josiah. And in this portion of scripture, verse 8 through 22, this is when King Josiah begins to rebuild the temple. See, King Josiah was a reformer. What's a reformer? One that leads a reformation. What's a reformation? Making the crooked way straight. See, King Josiah didn't care what the popularity contest was and who liked him and who thought what. Come on, the moment that he began to hear the word of God read to him in this portion of scripture, it says in verse 11 that he tore off his robes. The priests found the book of the law in the sanctuary as they were rebuilding the temple. And he began to read the Bible out loud to King Josiah. And because his senses were awake, come on, because his spirit man was awake, he heard the words of the truth of the Bible. And it says, immediately he tore off his robes. What does that mean? He began to cry out and tear off his earthly royalty. He was the king on earth, but come on, he recognized that there was a king in heaven that carried a greater authority than what he could ever carry. And he began to rip off that title. He began to rip off that status. And in front of everybody, his servants, the priests, he falls on his face and he begins to cry out to the King of Kings. He says this in verse 13. He sends his attendants, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us." And so the priest went to speak to the prophet Huldah. And in verse 15, she said this to them. "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me." She says, "Tell the man who sent you to me," because the King of Kings is talking. "This is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched." Now he says, she says, "Tell the king of Judah," now there's honor, "who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive." Come on, he responded to the words. He responded because his senses were open. Come on, this is what responsive means. Reacting readily and sympathetically. Come on, this is what responsive means. It means sympathetic, sensible, conscious, susceptible, receptive, compassionate, aware, sensitive, active, reactive, alive and awake, forthcoming, impressionable, kind-hearted, open and passionate. That's what responsive means. And the Lord says this, "Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and laid waste. And because you tore your robes and you wept," or "you cried out in my presence, I have also heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I will bring to this place." Come on, because Josiah's response, because of the compassion in his heart to the sin of his nation, there was an outcry to that sin. We know because of this outcry that even though there was no word of God in the land, his senses were awakened to heaven. He was burdened by the state of his nation. And so God poured out his mercy and he withheld his fury because of a cry of a man. When was the last time watching the news that you were burdened? That you were burdened, that you fell to your knees and you said, "No, God, not another murder. No, God, not another shooting. No, God, not another law passed supporting sexual immorality, supporting the annihilation of a generation through abortion." When was the last time that you had a conversation with a friend who wasn't a believer and your soul ached? Come on. That there was something inside of you that could not stand the words that you were hearing. And so plans had to be canceled, phone had to be turned off, and I have to call on heaven. I have a meeting with heaven. God, I'm putting a demand on heaven for this city in Fort Worth that it will not happen here. That it will not happen to my children's schools. I am putting a demand on heaven. Come on. Sometimes, like Josiah, we got to tear off the work clothes from the office. Come on. We have to tear off the anxieties. We have to tear off the titles of who we are. Some of us have jobs where everybody does things for us, and we come into our home and we just expect everything to be done. No, coming to the throne room is a humble place that we bow before our King who gets real stuff done. We have to make a time and a place for our King and rip off the titles, rip off the authority that we carry and call on heaven's authority. See, when Josiah did this, it got heaven's attention. It got heaven's attention. Have you ever gone before God expecting to hear from him? Not wondering, not wishing that God would speak, not hoping maybe he'll hear me, but bowing before the King and saying, God, I'm not moving from this place until I hear from you, until I see something that you give me, until I feel a shift in this city, until I tangibly with my senses know and see breakthrough is coming. Come on, the Bible talks about this, a fervent prayer, a prayer that comes without ceasing. The American church has to begin to learn that we have to kneel before our King and not pray for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but God, I'm not moving from this spot until I feel and see and hear heaven. He answered Josiah with mercy because it grabbed a hold of his bridegroom's attention. Deuteronomy 22, 24. This is where they're talking about the laws, and in this specific situation, it's on adultery. It says this. Verse 24, then you shall bring them both out to the gate. The gate is that of a threshold, the place of judgment and justice. And so it says this, bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death. The girl, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he has violated his neighbor's wife. Thus you shall purge the evil from you. Come on. They said this, they will both be put to death. The girl, because she did not cry out in the city. And this is where the law comes from. They said, this is how we will know the difference between if she was actively participating in sin and adultery or if this was a rape type of scenario. Because this is what's going to happen. If she's a victim, we will hear a cry. Come on, there are going to be some kids that are playing in the streets. There's going to be somebody in a different part of the house. Come on, there's going to be somebody that has to come knock on the door because they heard her cry. So let us listen for a second. So let us listen. And there was no cry. And they said, because we don't hear a cry for help. Come on, because we don't hear a cry for deliverance. Come on, because we don't hear a cry of save me. Then she must have consented to it. Do you understand that we are in a time that if heaven does not hear our cry, then the angels that are listening for us that says, no, wait a second, I see the sin. I see what's happening in the earth, but there are thousands of believers. There are thousands of Christians. Surely, surely we are going to hear a cry. And so the angels in heaven, they're listening for us. They are listening. Come on, let it not be that when heaven listens, that they hear nothing. And they think, wait. Our people, are they consenting to this? Are they supporting this? Are they okay living neighbor to neighbor with this? Why do I hear nothing? Don't they know? If I heard their cry, I would answer. Don't they know if I heard their cry, I could turn that law the other way? Don't you know that if I heard their cry, that I could extend my mercy? I could push this away from happening. I can push this demonic world agenda from happening if I could just hear my people cry. If they would just turn on and awaken their senses so they can feel the times that they're in, so that their response would be compassion and heartbreaking, so that they would cry out and receive mercy. How can they tell us apart? How can heaven tell us apart? If there's no cry, if there's no outcry from his people, come on, we all sound and look the same then. We're all his sons and daughters. He loves us whatever choice we make. But what makes us different? There should be a sound that comes from his people that is different from the sound that comes from the world. And this is really hard to do. Sorry, I'm going to get a little bit youth pastor here. But this is really hard to do when everything on our radio and in our house and what we watch on Netflix is all the same sound of the world. How in the world are we going to produce a sound that heaven responds to if the only sound we're listening to is what the world gives us? We have to sound different. Psalm 18:6 says this, but in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help, and he heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. This is his promise to his church. This is his promise. Do you hear me? To his bride, don't let the enemy tell you that he doesn't hear you. That's a lie. Just like when you're receiving the gift of speaking in tongues and he tells you it's not really it. Don't you know the enemy does not want you to take ground? He will make you insecure about everything that God tells you to do. Every gift that he gives you, every purpose placed within you, he will make you feel insecure about so that you don't continue to move forward and take ground in authority. Come on, we need a godly confidence that comes upon us that knows that our Father in heaven hears us and wants to and is waiting to hear us and to respond. Heaven is waiting. They're waiting on our cries. See, we have examples, just in case you need more encouragement. All throughout the Word of God, we see the mercy of God released when his people cry out. Listen to this. Here's to name a few. Genesis 41:55 is when the people cried out to Pharaoh for the freedom. Let us go. And so God sent them Moses, who cried out to God on their behalf, which led them to freedom out of Egypt. In Deuteronomy 26, we read about the Israelites crying out in the desert now because they're complaining. So Moses goes to God and he begins to cry out for them again. And the Lord releases mercy upon them. And he brings them into their promised land. In Judges 4, the Israelites cry out to the Lord because of a giant army, 900 iron chariots. You know this story. But he sent them Deborah, come on, to lead them into freedom. In Ruth 3, we have Ruth, who cried out at her Redeemer's feet at the threshing floor, that place of judgment and justice again. And God's mercy fell upon her and redeemed her with her guardian Redeemer. What a beautiful picture of the bridegroom redeeming his bride. In 1 Samuel 1:15, there was a woman named Hannah who cried out for a baby to the degree that the priest didn't recognize what she was doing and thought she was drunk. But come on, she went to that place of an uncomfortable groan and she birthed Samuel, who represented and brought revival. In 2 Kings 2:12, there was Elisha that cried out as the Lord took Elijah to heaven, but God released a double portion and Elijah's mantle fell upon him. Come on, in 2 Kings 4:1, I preached this last month. The woman cried out to Elisha when God had taken her husband and when they were about to take her two sons, right? And she comes to Elisha and she cries out, I have nothing. They're going to take my sons. And her cries produced the oil. Come on, her cries produced the oil in the presence. And Jonah 2:1, Jonah cried out from the belly of a fish. And the Bible says this, that when Jonah cried to the Lord from the belly of the fish, it says this, out of my distress I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me out of the belly of a fish. Come on. God delivers us when he hears his cry. He extends mercy. In Ezekiel 9, it says this, and the Lord called to the man dressed in linen who was carrying the writer's case and said to him, walk through the streets of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of all who what? All who cry out because of the detestable sins that are being committed in their city. Then I heard the Lord say to the other men, follow him through the city and kill everyone who does not have a mark on the forehead. Who was those that were marked? Those that cried and lamented over the sins of their nation. In Daniel 6:20, it says that King Darius stayed up all night fasting and praying for Daniel's God to deliver him out of the line. Lion's den. And so it says in the morning, he ran back to the den. And it says in anguish, he cried out, Daniel, has your king, has he saved you? And Daniel answers back, yes, my God sent angels that close the mouth of the lions. Come on. And in Daniel 9, Daniel cries out for the sins of the people, repenting and crying out with pleas of mercy. And God sent David, another angel, and answered him from heaven. Don't you know that our cries open heaven? We have Mordecai in Esther 4:1. Come on, that he cried out at the threshold, at the city gate, so that not just the people, but the palace would hear him and see him in his sackcloth and ashes. Come on, and we know that that cry brought freedom to his entire generation of people. Crying out, it's an unfair battle. It's the only battle that you get to show up and not meet face to face with your opponent and take victory. Come on, and take victory. Crying out, it's an unfair battle. That victory is already in front of you. If you would allow yourself to get in the throne room and to cry out, you will see victory. Luke 7:37, we know this famous portion of scripture. Mary cried over the feet of Jesus, her Savior, and her sins were forgiven. Not just her sins, but the Savior who was about to die on a cross for all mankind and bring deliverance and forgiveness for all of mankind. See, Mary understood the times when all the religious people were standing around. So powerful for our time right now. She understood the times that they were in. And she was willing, what man would say, to make a fool out of herself and lay herself at the feet of Jesus. But she was preparing the way for the greatest reformation of all time. See, Jesus knew that she was anointing him for the cross. She was anointing him for this reformation that was going to take place. In fact, Matthew 27, verse 50 through 54 says this. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, it says this, at that moment, he yielded up his spirit. And at that moment, we sang about this. At that moment, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After Jesus' resurrection, when they had come out of the tombs, they entered the holy city and appeared to many people. And it says this, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus, all of a sudden, when they saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Come on, when Jesus cried out, breakthrough for all time, at that very moment, the veil was torn. Worship team, thank you. Perfect timing. See, they know. The greatest gift of mercy was given to us in that moment. He was the example, our Savior, of a cry, and heaven responded and shook the earth. Shook the earth where dead people became alive. Come on, I believe we're in a time that if we would cry, we would see the supernatural, that earth would shake in a whole new way, that yes, I believe dead men would be raised, that people will get out of wheelchairs and walk, that broken bones will immediately straighten out. I believe if we would walk in this thing called crying out, first, our senses, they have to be awakened, church. We have to be okay with feeling uncomfortable. We have to feel okay with looking different and standing out for Jesus. So I ask you this question this morning. What is it that you want heaven's attention over? What is it that you want your King of Kings' attention over? Your bridegroom, your Father, who is he to you? He's waiting. And what is it that you need heaven's attention over? Come on, be in the moment with me. This isn't even a performance. When I ask you a question, begin to search your spirit and your soul. Some of you right now, don't let condemnation fall over you. Some of you don't have an answer. Some of you are just like, I hear what she's saying and I want that, but I don't even know what I would begin to cry out for. That's okay. That's okay. Because our God's a loving, compassionate God. And this is why he spoke it this morning, to awaken us so that we carry the authority that we were meant to carry. 2 Kings 22:20, it says this. This is back to King Josiah. At the very end, God says to Josiah, "Your eyes will not see the disaster." Because Josiah's spirit man, emotions, his senses, his heart was open to hear and see and feel the state of the nation, see that anguish that he must have felt all of a sudden, realizing how far away from God they were, he responded with that groan. But God said, "I am going to speak peace over you." It says that. He says, "You will be buried in peace." Our answers are not in the things of this world to comfort us. Josiah, can you imagine the weight all of a sudden? We have the word of God that we get every day with us and we don't read enough. And he didn't have it until this moment. Literally, the anguish he must have felt, knowing in every way how far they had come from God. In fact, you can read furthermore, and it begins to list everything he reforms and throws out and crushes and gets rid of. But it says that God said, "I will give you peace." Nothing will cure our pain, our fear, our anxiety other than God. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that there are some different diseases and things that are there, that medications are needed. I would say, go to a spiritual leader in your life that's mature and just check in with them, because unfortunately, doctors nowadays just love to hand out all of it. But the majority of us have easily just taken what they've handed, and it's the enemy's ploy to silence his church. It's the enemy's ploy to silence our cry so that we go with emotions. Oh, well, the Bible says this is going to happen. The Bible tells us to cry out, to cry out. And I believe that when Jesus does come back, there will be thousands more entering heaven, hundreds of thousands more entering heaven, because those that would answer the call to cry out. Last week, Corey had us pray over our eyes. Wow. You remember that? He had us pray over our eyes. And we repented and we prayed purity over our eyes. This is what the Lord said. This week, we're crying out for an awakening over our eyes. Come on, we repented for the things that we shouldn't have seen, watched. Maybe if this week you fell into it again, there's mercy. Just ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness means we turn our ways when we repent. We turn away from that sin. But this week we're crying out for an awakening over our eyes. And this is what it should look like. That God, we want to see and we want to feel and we want to hear what you see, feel, and hear. That God, when you see brokenness and you're broken, that God, we wouldn't just walk by the broken. That God, when we see it, we would stop and we would feel the brokenness that you feel. God, we pray that this morning you are going to let us see what you see. The word says in the end times that man will call evil good and good evil. Lord, we bind that spirit of confusion in the name of Jesus. And we declare that this church, Mercy Culture Church, that we will see with heaven's eyes. That God, we will not align ourselves with evil. That God, we will see it for what it is and we will respond with a compassionate cry to heaven. With compassion in our hearts to pray for those that need prayer. To not isolate in fear, but God, move us forward to take ground in our city. Move us forward to take ground in our nation, God. With a fearlessness. Luke 7:37, it says, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And the Pharisee asked and said, see, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman was touching him. He responds and says, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. She's wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to stop kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And he says to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. There's so much I want to say in this moment. But when our senses are turned on to the Holy Spirit, and to the things of God, don't you know it makes us intimate with our King? It makes it intimate where we can touch and we can feel and we can hear and we can see when he's moving. We can see how he feels towards our nation. We can see there's an intimacy when we're not numbed by busyness. There's an intimacy that comes when our senses are alive to the things of God. And don't be afraid when the burdens fall, because they're going to in a second. When the burdens fall on you and you begin to cry out and say, God, but this doesn't feel good. It's okay, it causes your cry, but then he'll say this, go in peace. Come on, we serve a supernatural God that we can war spiritually and we can walk in peace. In the natural, war and peace don't go together. In the supernatural, we can war in the spiritual, and we can walk in peace. And so this is what we're going to do. Go ahead and stand to your feet. This morning, some of you already know there's been conviction. Conviction draws you closer to Jesus. If you feel condemnation, you rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. Conviction draws you closer to Jesus. This is what we're going to do. We are going to repent. Just you at your seat, you with God right now. For whatever you have numbed yourself with, there's a busyness that I keep hearing. Some of you already know from the word last week, maybe you repented, maybe you didn't, with the pharmaceutical drugs. Maybe it's, hey, do you know that the Bible says that drinking alcohol is not a sin, but to be drunk is? And I just want to make this note real quick. A glass of wine is not sin. But some of us have gone to a drink when we're stressed, when we're upset, when we are burdened, when we are frustrated. And those are the emotions, those are the feelings that God puts you in you as a human to cry out to Him, not to numb with that glass of wine. Not to numb with whatever that beverage is in the moment. Have that on a romantic getaway or whatever. But come on, when those feelings come up inside of you, He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from His sons and His daughters. Not a month of numbing go by and a year of numbing. And then why do we get to the place in our marriages and families where we're falling apart? We have pushed down our cry. We have pushed down that open door. We've closed it to that intimacy with our Savior. And so this morning, just close your eyes all around this room. Close your eyes. I just want you to begin to talk with your King. Talk with your bridegroom. What is it that you have replaced Him with? What is it that you have numbed yourself, that maybe you didn't even know. Maybe this morning you just caught on and you're turning around and you are grabbing the wrist of the enemy that has been coming after you and you are saying, no more. No more am I numbing myself with this. No more are you taking my sensitivity to the spiritual realm. So Lord, right now we repent. We repent because there's more He wants to do this morning. So let's get it out of the way, because your God is a forgiving, merciful God. Lord, we repent right now for everything we've replaced for you and for your peace, your supernatural peace, your healing, and your deliverance that would fall on your people now. I bind addictions in the name of Jesus. They have to go. They have to go. I even come against the feeling of having to go through a 10-step program or whatever it is. Accountability is good. Tell somebody after this service so you have accountability set up. But I declare a supernatural deliverance and healing to go forth on your people right now. So Lord, this is what we're going to do. Keep your eyes closed. And I want you to put your hands on your eyes. Come on, lay those pure hands on your eyes. And on the count of three, I want you to yell as loud as you can over your eyes. Awaken. 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 On the count of three. One, two, three. Awaken.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.